So the reading is Luke 2, 8 verse, to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to all those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thanks, Lily. Okay, I'm going to invite David up to come and share God's word. Shall we just pray for David before he shares it? Father God, we thank you for David. We thank you for the preparation he's put into this talk today. Lord, let him just speak out for you. Let him be your trumpet sound for what you want to say to us today and for the weeks to come. In your amazing name, amen.
I'm not sure that I'm going to be a trumpet sound because I'm not very good at musical instrument noises, but we'll try. So we're looking at Luke chapter 2 that Jenny read to us. Now then, you'll be very sad to hear that I never got a bicycle for Christmas. Now, I know that a lot of children, when I was at school, got bicycles for Christmas. I didn't get a bicycle for Christmas. Having said that, I did get a bicycle from my parents, but it wasn't Christmas, it was just an extra gift. Now, the first bicycle I had was a second-hand one, and I think when we got that, my sister got one as well, and we were going through the Yorkshire Evening Post looking for bicycles that were for sale, second-hand bicycles, and we ended up going to Hunslet. I'd never been to Hunslet before, to pick up this bicycle, and it was a blue bicycle, and I was very proud of it. The only problem I had was that I didn't know how to ride a bike at that time. I was probably about 8 years old, I would think, maybe eight or nine. So I was probably a late starter on bike riding. I never had one of these little bikes that children often have these days with the stabilizers. So I had to start learning, even without having stabilizers. But I did have, at the side of me, my dad. And he said, just you try to ride it. He says, and I'll be here. And if you start wobbling over, if you think you're falling, I'll grab hold of it and you'll be okay. And I was. And he said that there was no need to be fearful, no need to worry, no need to be anxious, because he would catch me. Now, the safe option would have been just to give up and not to do it at all. If I'd have given up and not even tried riding a bike, I would have never got hurt, but I would have never learnt to ride a bike. So it was worth taking the risk. The best option was actually to trust in my dad. Because although at first I was a bit frightened, it was the only way that I would learn to ride a bike. Because fear actually teaches us to trust. And the theme today is shepherds from fear to faith. And sometimes it's fear. And sometimes we need to, as they say, feel the fear. Sometimes we need to be fearful in order that we can trust. And so what I'm going to look at today is how we can move from fear to faith by way of facts. And for the second week in a row, I've managed to get the same letters. I've managed to alliterate in my sermon. So it's fear, facts, and faith. And we'll see how we can learn in our lives to actually can I say, embrace fear or to accept fear as something that is necessary. Some of you will probably know that that we are unusual in that we don't have a television. We we got rid of it a few years ago. And there are a number of reasons for that. But one of the reasons why we don't have a television is that they like to make you fear. And if ever you watch the news, whatever channel, or if you listen to the news, there's always this element of fear. And you get to the end of watching a news bulletin and you're afraid of one thing or another. If there's floods somewhere, then they try to scare you with climate change, as if we can sort of do something about it. They try to scare you with World War III when there's a conflict in the world. And it just seems that they're always trying to scare you. You remember there was a vote for Brexit. You remember that both sides were trying to scare you with what would happen if the other side won. And everything we seem to do is through fear. Now, do you know that of all the commands in the Bible, the one that appears more time than any other is, do not be afraid. Or in the old version, fear not. That's interesting, isn't it? Of all the commands, you would be surprised perhaps that that is the most common command. Not to fear. Fear isn't in the seven deadly sins. And also, you know, sometimes people get kicked out of church for perhaps doing some crime or some sin that they've committed. Nobody ever got kicked out of church for being fearful. But it's interesting that fear is the command that appears actually 366 times. So we've got one every day of the year, including in leap years. So, do not be afraid. We read that in the reading today. Do you remember? Did you notice it as we went through it? Do not be afraid. That's what the angel said to the shepherds. And not long before that, 9 months earlier, an angel had said the same to Mary. And also an angel had said it to Joseph on a separate occasion. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Let me just read those first few verses that we heard earlier. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified, and I think we can understand why. But the angel said to them, "Ha, scared you?" No. The angel did not say that. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah," or in some versions it says Christ, the Lord. Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. I would imagine it's quite difficult for an angel to appear to anybody without them being scared. I cannot imagine that anyone would say, "Oh, that was interesting," or "That's good," or "I'm glad to see you." I'm sure the first impression would always be fear. And sometimes God has to use fear to get our attention. He doesn't do it just for the sake of it. He doesn't just do it for a bit of a laugh, just to try to scare people. But as with a parent teaching a child to ride a bike, it is fear that teaches us to trust. Maybe you as a parent understand what that's like with your child. Maybe you've taken your little girl or your little boy to the swimming pool and you've said, "You just jump in and I'll catch you." What a terrifying thing to do. What an awful thing to do to a child. But no, that's how they will learn. And they will learn not just how to swim or how to jump into water, but they will learn to trust a parent. Sometimes God needs to use fear to get us to trust. So the angel gave them a good reason not to fear. There was going to be good news of great joy. And this anticipation and comfort would reduce their fears. Good news of great joy. In fact, the good news is frequently spoken of in Scripture. In fact, the word gospel means good news. And it is good news because we, like the shepherds, and like everybody else who comes up in the Christmas story, it's good news because we are sinners who need a Saviour, Christ the Lord, the one that is about to be announced. So it is good news, even though at first it might be a bit scary because we recognise that we are sinful. But some people are unwilling to believe because of fear, perhaps fear of making a mistake, perhaps fear of what others will say if they do believe, perhaps fear of it not being true, perhaps fear of not understanding it all. And I wonder before you became a Christian, if you have those kind of excuses, or maybe you're not a Christian now, and maybe they're the sort of fears that you have. What if I do make a mistake? What will others say? What if it's just not true and I make a complete hash of it? Or what if I don't understand it all? But there is good news in the Saviour, Christ the Lord. A good news which, it said in the reading, leads to great joy. Good news which leads to great joy. And that begins with that little Saviour being born, that little baby in the manger. But it not only says that, did you catch? It is to all people. Did you notice that? It is to all people. Not just to Mary and to Joseph. Not just to the shepherds, though they were the first to hear of it. Not just to the Jews, but to all people. Born to you this day in the city of David. Born to you, to all people. And doesn't that exactly fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. To us all. Not just to me, but to all. This is the Saviour for the whole world. So the shepherds may well have been the first outside the family to hear the news, but they were certainly not the last. And in fact, the news continues to be proclaimed and to be heard throughout the world today. It is for all people. It is for you. For all people. So that's just looking a little bit at fear and where fear might be important. But let's move to the second point, which is to look at facts. To look at facts. Interesting. What you don't read is that the shepherds said, well, that was interesting. I've never seen a vision like that before. Anyway, we won't bother going. It won't be true. We're not going to walk into Bethlehem. We know it's not far, but we're not going to bother. We'll just continue looking after these sheep. They need us more. No. They were excited by what they heard. And although they weren't commanded to visit, they were given enough information to make them think, yeah, we'd like to see what this is all about. They were told that this would actually be a sign. Verse 12. Let's just read on. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Yes, they'd heard the news. Now they wanted to know if it was true. They may have had some doubt, but to be honest, if an angel appears and tells you, I'm sure you'd be pretty certain it was going to happen. But did you hear what they said? Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that the Lord has told us about. They knew it was God. They didn't say the thing that the angel has told us about, although they would have been correct in saying that. No, they knew that the Lord had told them about it. Now just think who they were. They were shepherds. The angels could have appeared to the priests in the temple. Could have appeared to the Pharisees praying out loud on the street corners. Could have gone up to Galilee and appeared to fishermen, but no. Appear to shepherds. Well, one reason would be that the shepherds were nearby. Bethlehem was just down the road, effectively. But also, these shepherds, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in those days, sheep weren't just kept for the reasons we keep sheep, maybe for meat or for breeding or for wool, but sheep were often kept for sacrifice. And in Jerusalem, in the temple, there were sheep that were kept for sacrifice. They weren't kept in the temple, but they were kept in the fields. And it was shepherds that looked after these. So it may have been that the sheep that were being kept were for the morning and evening sacrifices every day. There had to be a lot of sheep. And maybe that's the reason why. But maybe also, as part of that, the shepherds understood something about sacrifice. And maybe they got an idea that this Jesus, who was going to be, what did it say, the saviour of the world, maybe they started to see that perhaps this was going to be the sacrifice. Maybe they understood sacrifice more than a fisherman would, and more than the Pharisees would, and sadly, more than the priests would. Maybe that's why it was the shepherds that received this message. So they decided to see for themselves, to see if it was just as they had been told. And so it says they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Now that might surprise you. You might have thought that the wise men would have been there. But no, the wise men were not there. And the wise men did not appear until sometime later. And some people think maybe as long as 2 years later. There's no mention of cuddly animals gathered all around, a donkey. No, it wasn't the sanitized nativity scene that we have on our Christmas cards. It would have been quite a rough situation. Now, the shepherds would have understood what a manger was. They would have had mangers. And the very idea of a baby being in a manger might have horrified them at first. But they knew what they were looking for. Mary, Joseph, and a baby in a manger. And so they heard about this sign and they investigated. They went to see and they found things just as the angel had said. Now, if you think about it, it proved nothing. Well, it proved that the angels got it right. But it didn't prove that this little baby was going to be the Saviour, Christ the Lord. It proved nothing. It wouldn't have had a halo on his head. There wasn't a star over the stable. It proved, in a way, nothing. But the fact that the angels got the bit right about there being a baby in a manger gave them confidence to think, well, maybe he is Christ the Saviour, Christ the Lord. You see, sometimes you don't need to know everything. You just need to know a little bit. Just one fact. And it starts to make other facts believable. If the angel was right about the manger, then the shepherds felt that they could trust the rest. Signs are important. They may not be proof, but they are evidence. A bit like, do you remember last week we spoke about Mary, and she was told she was with child, and yet she was a virgin. And the angel said, even Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age. Now Mary, we assume, didn't know that. But we read on, which we didn't read last week, but we read on that Mary went to see Elizabeth and she found that it was true. And she must have thought, well, if that's true, and that's almost impossible, then the very impossible thing that has happened to me must be true as well. Sometimes you just need a little bit of evidence of one thing and it helps other things to fall into place. In fact, rather like the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 Verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Sometimes it's just the signs that we need, and that just helps other things that we find harder to believe to fall into place. Look, we cannot prove everything that's in the Bible. We can't say that all the claims are things that we fully understand. Salvation, redemption, the possibility of forgiveness, the possibility of heaven. But there are signs. God gives us signs. And those signs from the baby in the manger help us to, if you like, put the rest of the jigsaw together. And if you investigate with an open mind and a willing heart, I think there is enough to encourage belief. And you may be somebody who said, oh, I can't believe. Well, maybe you can't believe it all, but maybe there are some things that you can believe. And maybe the Christmas story is something that you think, yeah, maybe there is something in it. There's a branch in Christianity, which I won't go into a lot of detail, called apologetics. And apologetics is something, a part of it, helps to really investigate some of the things that almost seem quite impossible. And the more you look into it, the more you realise how helpful it is. There was a man, I think it was called something Morrison, I forgot his first name, and he wrote a book, and he subtitled it. Well, he called it Who Moved the Stone? And he sort of subtitled it, The Book That Would Not Be Written. He was an atheist and a lawyer, and he decided that as a lawyer, he would investigate all the claims about the resurrection. And the more he looked into it, the more he became convinced that the resurrection actually happened. He investigated it, and he said the book that would... I wanted to write a book about it, which would disprove it forever. Sometimes we just have to look at the facts, and so many people say, oh, I don't believe, I can't believe, and yet are unwilling even to look at the facts, even to investigate it. And as I said earlier, once one or two things start to make sense, then everything else falls into place. I find a lot of things difficult to believe, but there are some things that I now have believed, and it just helps to make the rest easier to follow. And there are many things that we believe without conclusive proof. There are lots of things we believe in the world without conclusive proof. We believe that man has landed on the moon. Well, maybe some of you don't, but some people have tried to say, well, that never happened. But we can't prove it, but we have enough evidence to think, well, it must be right. And if we, you know what I mean? There's lots of things we believe without conclusive proof. So why won't we believe in Jesus? Why do we feel that we need, oh, if somebody proved it to me? People make so many excuses. We don't have to understand it all to believe it. And so fear was helpful. The facts are helpful. Let's just look finally at faith. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. That's amazing, isn't it? Not only do they believe it for themselves, but they become evangelists, really. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Did you just catch that? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Not just the things that they had seen, a baby in a manger with Mary and Joseph, but the things that they had heard. Presumably, they had heard from Mary or Joseph that he was going to be called Jesus. Presumably, they had heard all sorts of things that Mary had experienced. It wasn't just what they had seen, but it was what they had heard that they told people about. You see, They could have told everybody, oh, we've seen the baby in a manger, and Mary and Joseph. People said, oh, that's nice. But no, it's what they had heard that was important. They had heard that he was going to be the Saviour, Christ the Lord, because that's what the angels had said. They had heard from Mary and Joseph other things. They had heard that he was in the what was called the city of David. David was a shepherd, remember, in Bethlehem. And that's significant. Jesus would become the good shepherd from Bethlehem. And then they'd heard all these things, and maybe they were just impressed, and that's what they wanted to tell. So not only were they eyewitnesses, but they also told others what they had been told. You see, their faith would have been small at first. It was a long time, 33 years before Jesus would die on the cross. And maybe the shepherds weren't even around when that happened. You know, maybe that was after they'd died. So they couldn't grasp it all. They wouldn't see everything that Jesus had done. Faith may be small at first, but it grows by experience. And fear reduces as the facts become more convincing. I wonder if something's holding you back from exercising faith. And I wonder if it's fear. Maybe in becoming a Christian in the first place, or maybe moving on with God in your life. Sometimes, you know, we can be easily fearful and not trust our Father in the same way that perhaps our fathers encouraged us to trust them when we were learning to swim or to ride a bike or to do something else that was outside our comfort zone. Maybe this morning, and as Christmas approaches, God wants you to move outside your comfort zone and move from fear via the facts to faith. Let's just pray, shall we? And then Tony will be coming out and praying for us as a church. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we've learnt from this story. And we do pray that you'll help us, not just to overcome our fears in a psychological sense, but by trusting you and by knowing that you are the Saviour of the world. Amen.